Okay.
You have an extra? This extra. Today I have soap. Anybody know what this is? Anybody know what this is?
Alcohol.
What?
Alcohol?
No. You know what this is?
I can't see.
This is a sanding block.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nifty. Door soap. Toothpaste. Oh, it's got all wet. More soap. Okay. More soap. A knife. And a spoon. What does this have to do with anything? All these things. What?
And they got a fresh bar of soap.
Oh, I actually need to demonstrate. Steve, I'm going to go for again. In the Milchik kitchen, there is, in the small kitchen, you look on the top, like way up high, there's going to be these bins like that you can fill with water. Can you fill one with enough water to wash one's hands? Because I kind of have to demonstrate. Okay. Okay.
And reaching towels also.
Yeah, well, unless you all want to get wet, I'll roll up my sleeves now. Okay. Hmm. Where am I going with this? Well, today we're going to learn about a malacha called memachek. We're only going to start on it. It's a two-day thing, but it's called memachek. Memachek is one of the Avos malachos. So every now and then I like to go back to this Mishnah. We've seen this Mishnah before, but it's worthwhile just to go back and see how much or how little we've really covered. I mean, we've covered a lot of the day-to-day things, but a lot of them we really haven't, as we will see. And these things are items I just pulled out of my house that are in everybody's home, I assume. You all have knife sharpeners, you all have spoons. Okay. What?
You have a knife that looks like that?
You don't have this knife?
No.
I just like to say, just so you should be aware, three years ago, for I think it was a birthday present or anniversary present, I finally decided to buy Rina real knives. These are Henkel's knives. They're really, really, really worth it. If you ever want to get your wife a good present, or a good present for Pesach, to get one good knife for Pesach, it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, you know, just... I don't know, whatever it is. You know, but it really is definitely worth it. And when you compare that to the Farberware knife you get for like $6 at Kmart, it's a world of difference. Oh, here comes my water. Aviva, you have to move to the side for a minute. Okay. Well, that's good. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead. This will come into play, and we'll move the digital player out of the way. Okay? So let's read the Mishnah just to review, and we're going to see which one we're talking about today. Avos malachas are barim chaser achas. There are 39 malachas of Shabbos, as we've learned before. Zoraya, you just tell me if we've covered this yet. Zoraya is planting. Covered it yet?
No.
Choresh, plowing?
No.
No. Kotzer, reaping?
No.
Amir, binding sheaves?
No.
Those are, by the way, somewhat, they're more minor. I mean, not minor for these are the applications to us. If we were farmers or planters or things like that, then maybe it would have greater relevance. But these are smaller, of lesser relevance to our day-to-day life. Dash?
Yes.
Right? Dash is threshing, but it was, remember we talked about squeezing all kinds of different things, squeezing vegetables, squeezing, you know, all kinds of different squeezing, and also brushes and all kinds of things like that we learned from Dash. Zora is winnowing?
No.
Borer, did we do?
Yes.
Tochen?
Yes.
Yes, good. Merakade is shifting. We didn't do that yet, no. Lush, did we do?
Yes.
We didn't. And Ofer?
No.
Baking.
No,
certainly did. We did cooking. All kinds. We did all types of cooking.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. We definitely did. So we did a bunch of those. We did dash, borer, tochein, lush, and ofer. Those are very significant ones. Those are big ones. Okay. Hagozei zashatemer. If you shear sheep, shear wool. No, we didn't do that. Malavno means you bleached it. Menaspo, you beat it. Hatsovo, you dyed it. Hatove, you're spinning. Hamesach, you're stretching the warp on the loom. Ha'osa shnei batenirin, you make two loops. Ha'oreg shnei chutin, or you weave. Weaving is also another one. We didn't do any of these. Ha'potzeh shnei chutin, or you separate two threads. Ha'kosher, do we do tying?
No.
Matir, untying?
No.
Tofer shnei tfirot, tofer is stitching. Do we do sewing?
No.
Korea amanat before, do we do any tearing? Any ripping? No. Wow, we're going to be busy for years. Okay. Hatsad Shvi, trapping a deer. That is actually very relevant, especially people that have pets. So we'll wait for Cheryl to come back. Very, very relevant. But Hatsad is very relevant today's day and age. What?
Trapping a deer?
No, trapping anything.
Bees.
Anything. Okay. Hashokhto, slaughtering it. So Sita, I don't think we're going to be involved in this for very long.
Good.
Mafshito, flaying it. You know what mafshid means? Flaying it. What does it mean to flay an animal? Right, to cut the hide. Right, to cut the... So, no, flaying it means to separate the hide, the skin. You know how they do it nowadays? Anybody?
You get a nice knife like that to skin.
No, no. Has anybody here other than you been to the Korabel to slaughterhouse? We have got to have a field trip to the Korabel slaughterhouse.
No.
Did you go? Steve?
Okay.
We're going to make it a macho thing and guilt you. What?
Is it a machine that does it?
Samuel will serve you. He'll serve you a steak.
Is it a machine?
What?
Is it a machine?
Yeah, it's a machine. You kind of like hook these hooks onto the top, and you get in the right place. The machine just pulls, and it all goes, pulls it all up at one time.
Oh, well, these vegetarians are really lean.
It's really cool. Okay. I repeat, what?
Do people become vegetarian?
Nah, come on. I mean, I believe, and I really do believe this, that a person should not eat a piece of meat unless he's seen an animal be slaughtered. Because you have to know what you're eating. You know, it's okay, it's relevant, but there was never a time before today's day and age, before modern meatpacking plants, that a person didn't see an animal slaughtered. I mean, throughout history, you wanted to eat meat. It was, first of all, a very special occasion, because cows are really, really expensive. And you wanted to eat meat that was somewhat unique. And second of all, what did you do if you wanted to eat that meat? You took it to the shanchei, and he slaughtered it for you. Right? So it was your cow, Bessie, and you were done with the cow. When you were done, then you slaughtered it for the meat. Right? And that was pretty much it. Nobody else ate meat. He salted it. You sold it, whatever. Right. Nobody ate meat. Nobody could afford. Are you kidding? Who could afford meat? Yeah. Okay. Today, well, let's go on for a second. We're on Mocha, Malicha, salting it. Ma'abed es Oro. Here we go. Ma'abed es Oro is tanning what's it called? Is
curing
the hide. Tanning. Ma'abed is tanning. And then Hamochko. Scraping it, scraping the hide. So today we're going to do that halacha, that one called mimachek. So you say scraping the hide. Why would they scrape an animal hide?
No.
Or parchment. But why would you scrape the hide?
To clean the wound.
Why are you cleaning off?
Whatever remnants of the meat or the flesh of the wrong.
Good. Or the hair, right? Or the hair or the fur. So mimachek is when you have a piece of hide and they would literally scrape it. Mm-hmm. I guess, in order to get the hairs off of that hide, in order to make it something that was usable for whatever. You needed a piece of skin. You didn't need a piece of furry skin or hairy skin. So you had to get all the impurities off. So now we're going to see the Gemara talks about source number two. What is memachet? So this is says, the Gemara says, ha-memachko, ha-mechatko. It's very interesting how little discussion there is in the Gemara about these issues. You know, the Gemara basically has a paragraph about so many of them. Amar Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, "Hashaf bein amudim b'shabbes." Okay, shaf is to Gina. Help me out here. Shaf is to smooth in a sense. So one smooths between the pillars on Shabbos. Chayav mishum memachik. You are chayav because of memachik. Let's look at Rashi for a minute. It's actually about chokesh between Rashi and Tosfot what shaf bein amudim means. Look at Rashi. Rashi is to the left hand side. Shaf bein amudim. Kagon, for example, amude achshadraot, pillars of achshadraot, she'asuyim chalonot. They're made like you make windows out of them. So pillars one next to the other. Then you smachim b'chalonot bein amud la'amud, and you put the windows between the different pillars. So it was almost like window panes in a sense. V'hashaf sham b'karkait habinyan. What are you doing when you're smoothing out on the floor of the binyan of the building? So in order to place the window on the floor, in order to place that doorpost or whatever it is, you have to smooth out on the bottom. So that what Rashi says is that's the idea, that's what they were trying to do, to smooth that out. So one gets a sense, at least according to Rashi, that what is the malacha of memachek? Memachek isn't just smoothing out animal hides, it's smoothing out anything. That's the malacha of taking a rough surface and making it something that's smoother, that's more usable. And that's how it's applied universally in the halacha. That's one aspect of memachek. That's the ab malacha of memachek. Just for a minute, let's take Tosos. Tosi Tosos at the bottom there. Hashaf Beina Amudi Meshabes Chayav. Perish Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel said, Tishaf Ha'or Al Ha'amid Kedei L'Hachliko. And now, the Rashi, it's had nothing to do with buildings. They would take this skin, this hide, and put it on the pillar, and then they would smooth it. What? Then they would rub it, right, in order to make it smooth. So that is memachek. Good. Very good.
Would that also apply to a talus on the bottom of the heel of your foot? Not
your foot. Then we're going to talk about that's a different problem of gozes, of shearing, of removing skin on the bottom of your foot. And also that's refuah. Right, you mean like sanding out, like using a pomace stone to sand something out? That's a different problem of gozes. Gozes is shearing, so shearing is not only cutting up hair, it's also cutting off skin.
So this doesn't refer to human, it only refers to animals.
Right, or not your own body, we'll say it for now. Okay, let's go on another thing. I'm back in the Gemara, line 3. Amara b'chira bar Abba. B'chira bar Abba said, Shaloshad varim shachli rab ashi mishmeidu rab Yehuda ben Levi. Rav Ashi said three things to me in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. One, Hamigarer Roshei Kolontos B'Shabes Chayev Mishum Mechatech. They had these like sticks, these pillars. And if you would drag one in order to make it shorter, that's Mechatech, that's cutting. Number two, Hamimareach Ritiya B'Shabes. What's a Ritiya? Anybody know? A Ritiya is a bandage. Okay, if you're mimareach is the second term you have to know. You have to know the term memachek, and you have to know the term mimareach. Mimareach means, Jean, want to help me out here? No?
To smear.
Very good. Right. So how would you, meaning think about a bandage. First of all, I think back then when they applied a bandage, they didn't have like we have. They didn't have, you know, ace bandages, or what did they have back then? Did you learn in the history of pharmacology what they used for bandages?
Said,
cloth. And? Didn't they use plaster also? To bandage something?
Yeah.
What?
Like, they put cloth in and liquid in it, like it hardens.
Correct. Even like a cast today, I don't know how to do cast today, but even cast today, you have to use plaster. Right. So the mimareach will be to smooth over your ritiya, your bandage, okay? Look at Rashi. Mimareach ritiya. Machlik. Tachboshet al hamakef. You're smoothing over your tachboshet, your salve, over the wound. Right, so a person got a wound, and instead of the bandage, like we know, they would take this plaster and slap it on there. You can imagine how painful that was when they took it off. Right? You know.
Just any ointment?
No. This is the av melacha. Okay. This is actually a toldah av melacha. So one who is memareach smears the ritiya. We're going to talk about what the shmearing, what the malacha of the shmearing really is on Shabbos. That's mimachek. Okay? Mimachek means shmearing. Okay? Chai b'shem mimachek. So there's mimachek and mimareach. Okay? Those are the two things. One is, mimachek is smoothing, and mimareach is shmearing. And we're going to talk about both of those things. What?
What's the difference? Smoothing and smearing.
Smearing is taking. I should have brought my caulk. Smearing is taking.
Let it be spreading it.
Right. Smearing is taking something that is a certain consistency and spreading it smooth. For example, when you want to.
Like a paste.
Well, no, not. Well, we'll talk about toothpaste. We're going to talk about toothpaste.
What about a letter? What about smearing a letter?
Have you ever seen somebody drywall a wall?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how do you? It's called mudding, right? How do you mud? First of all, mudding is very hard to do. I'm learning the hard way. It's very hard to do it well. It's very easy to do it badly. It's hard to do well. So when you put up drywall, it comes in pieces. You hang it up and you screw it in, and then you want to hide that and make it simulate a whole wall. So what do?
You tape it. You
take a compound and you smooth it out. You smear it smooth. That is the idea of memachek. You're taking something that in its real substance is hard, and you're smoothing it out so that it becomes a smooth, hard surface. That's the av malacha of memachek. I should have brought my putty knife, but I forgot. Okay? But they would have been mad at me if I did it on the walls here. Steve, would you mind getting the other pages? So we learned these are the amalachas of memachek. That's memachek. You should know that. And then there's a tolda of mimareach. Mimareach is smearing. And you can well imagine the Torah of mimareach appears many, many times in many, many household uses. We do smearing all the time. Somebody give me an example. Well, right. Well, we're going to learn. That does not apply to food. Hand cream. Not food.
First aid ointment
happens very often.
Burns.
Doesn't
call it.
What?
Doesn't call it.
No, I told it not to because it would go faster this way.
Sorry.
Vaseline on your lips. Excellent. Give another example. We're going to talk about lipstick. Right. Or
lotion.
Well, we'll talk about another example of smearing. If lipstick is true, stick deodorant. That's another good example that a lot of people are not aware of. Right? That's, again, that's, what are you doing? You know, if you think about it logically, you're taking this thing, you're taking this stick, and you're pushing it against the surface in order to smooth it out, in order to smear it out. Ah, so that was, I just said a stick, specifically a stick. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, so today we're going to do page. Everybody take a page number 2. There should be more. Was that enough? Take a page 1. Here, there's more page 2. Okay. Today I'm giving you the Chaye Adam. And he gives a number of different examples. Okay?
Any more soups?
Yeah. Over there.
You have more two?
He's got two. How many two is that? Okay. Oh, page 2. Page 2 says, Chayyadim says, Hamavir Seyar Otsemer. If a person takes off hair or wool, Me'al Ha'or, from on the skin, Achar Mita, after you kill the animal, Ad Shiyachlik Pnei Ha'or, until you smooth the skin. That's chaya mishum mimachek. That is mimachek. V'chein asaf biyado al ha'or ha'matuach bein ha'amudim. See how he explains it? What they would do is, in order to make this work really well, they would take these two pillars, these two sticks, and stretch out the skin. Because when you stretch it out, it makes it much easier to smooth. So if you run your hand on the skin, that's matuach. Matuach means it's pulled, tightened. Bein ha'amudim, between those two pillars, Kamosha Ofrin Oshin Shofrim the Ibura cloth. When they make the cloth, I've never seen it made, but that's what they do. They take it and they stretch it, and then they want to smooth it out. That's Chayad Mishum Mimachek. That's also Chayad because of Mimachek. So Mimachek is smoothing out a rough surface. Gimel, line 3. Hakoleth Min Ha'or, if you're peeling off from the skin of the animal, Chayad Mishum Mimachek. That's also from like leather. For example, a fitach. Ein megardin besakin obitsiporin min'al. Bein chadash ubein yashan b'gnesha kolef ha'or. So what happened was, in Europe, they had the following problem. When you had your boot, it would become rough. If you had a piece of, you know, your something on your shoe, for example. So people would take a knife or something, and then they would scrape on their shoe in order to smooth it out. You know, if there was an indentation, I guess it wasn't as finely made as we have. And that would smooth out the shoes, either on the bottom or on the sides. And that was a problem of mimachek. In fact, you know, I mean, we have paved streets, right? But in Europe, they didn't have paved streets. So what happened to your shoes or your boots? They became muddy.
So
I was
just going to say, on some of the streets, like in New England, you still see the scrapers outside.
Excellent. You do. Good point. So every building, that's very good. Thank you. Every building they built, like just like we have, you know, in the entrance they have a mat, right? They had a scraper on the outside because they wanted you to track as little mud as you could. So you had to be very careful not to scrape your foot on that metal scraper because it was made to smooth out the leather at the bottom of your shoe.
Is that like these little animals outside their door with the rough thing to wipe?
It? There's like a brush already. That's a brush. They had a metal grate. What did it look like? I don't know what it looked like.
Like a square, like this, with a blade on the top.
Right, exactly. So it was a blade. It was made to scrape it.
Right. It wasn't a sharp blade. It was dull, just enough so that you're not going to cut through the leather. It was just made to scrape off the
correct. Blade. So that actually, they felt, the poskim, the Taz writes in the Shulchan Aruch, that he felt that that was also a problem of mamachek, that people should avoid that on Shabbos. But nobody I know has a scraper outside their house on Shabbos anymore, so don't worry about it. Okay. Here it is, what he says. V'im, line 6. V'im ein lo v'hum metunaf. Let's say you don't have, your shoes are dirty. Mutar l'kancho b'kore, you can clean it with a stick. Ava alo b'kot yalsho binyan. You shouldn't do it on a side of a wall. The mixer can mostly al habinyan, because the mud is going to go onto the wall and look like you're going to add on to the building, I guess. Okay. Dalit. Hamemareach ritiyah. If you smooth over a ritiyah, a bandage, chayav, your chayav, that's again, minareach, as we learned. V'chein, furthermore, shava, wax, o zephet, zephet is?
Pitch.
Thank you. V'chayote behem, similar things. B'dvarim, b'dvarim, hamit marchim, atshiyach lipnen, these are things that are smooth until they became smooth on the face. Chayav mishum memachek. That's obligated b'deja chaya because of the machik. So wax is a good example. You take your candle, right? You want to fill in a crevice. You can take your candle and spill it in, and that's something that starts off as a liquid, and as soon as it becomes solid, that's the machik. Okay? Lefikach, therefore, this example is going to come back to us. Asur litein shava, you can't put wax. Oh, shemen av. What's shemen av?
Oil.
Thick oil. What's thick oil? Congealed oil. What happens to oil when it congeals?
It becomes paste.
It becomes paste, right? And we never see this because we all always have canola oil. You ever see, sometimes you'll see, they make foods with hydrogenated, coconut oil. When you take coconut oil and leave it at room temperature, it becomes a thick paste. Yeah, it's gross. Never buy anything made with coconut oil, even though everything is made with coconut oil. You'd be shocked at how unhealthy it is. Right, it's really bad for you. So instead, you could take your coconut oil and smear it on something and, take care of the problem. Actually, I have found that you can actually do this with some toothpaste. If you leave out toothpaste, what's going to happen to it? It does become hard. Which is very interesting. So,
better example, take chicken fat. I'm just saying, how many people...
I will just say for the record, I have repaired walls in houses that don't belong to me with toothpaste. Yeah, because I didn't have any compound. And I have a little hole. Is there a little hole? Do they?
Yeah.
Oh, then I'll say it for the record. Do they really?
Actually, little holes that when you put up nails for the hanging the paintings.
And they say use toothpaste?
It's just minty smells.
Yeah, right. Oh, the room smells so good. Right, okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If we go back to Gimel for a minute. So
yeah.
If you're walking on Shabbos and you walk in mud,
right,
and you want to scrape off...
No, then in the bottom, you could do it on the floor. You could do it on concrete on the edge of the...
You can.
Yeah, that
okay.
You could for sure do.
Yeah,
also, you are usually not going to have leather soles.
Okay.
So you're not improving that, the bottom, your shoe. Sometimes it might be on the side, but then you're going to, we have very fine shoes. You have to remember, back then, it was utilitarian. They didn't care really. It wasn't fine, highly polished, fancy shoes. And if you're walking the mud, probably going to be in your boot, which is going to have a rubber sole. Right, which is less, really, I don't see that being so much of an issue. Okay. The vigach, you can't take wax or thick oil. The nekev chavit l'satmo. Let's say I have a barrel, and I want to stop up the barrel. So I say, oh, good, I have my candle. I'm going to pour the wax from the candle, and that's going to stop up the barrel. You're not allowed to do that. You say, well, I'm not going to smear it. I'm just going to pour it in. Even if I just want to stick it in there without smearing it. No. The gazrinon shema yimareach. The rabbi's decreed, because what are you going to do? If we let you pour it in, the next guy is going to do what? He's going to smear it. The imereach l'shava ocheled, and if you did it with fat, smiles, thank you, or with wax, chayav. Okay? It's all your chayav. He says, b'chein b'batshek shayach meruach. The same meruach, the same smearing, is relevant for batshek, for dough. So you can already see where we're going to get the smearing. So you'll ask me, okay, Rabbi, what is the level at which smearing is forbidden or smearing is not forbidden? That's the discussion we have to have. Because you can already think of a zillion different compounds in your house which have different qualities, different properties. See that, you talk about toothpaste. I didn't bring the Crest. What about this toothpaste? See this toothpaste? Yeah, very good. Right. The different toothpaste. This is very different than the toothpaste you have at home. Different creams are very, very different, right? All kinds of different things going on. Very, very different. What? Different kinds of hand lotions, different kind of...
Cocoa butter.
Right, you know, there's something called, there's a lubricant called KY jelly that sometimes people have to use for different reasons, and then you have, Vaseline. It's very, very different. So you have all these now, all these compounds in your house, and you say, well, where's the line at which I'm allowed to use it, and where's the line at which, Vaseline could be a real problem to use, because that's, mamish smearing. Or, for example, if you've ever used diaper rash ointment, diaper cream,
desitin.
What would you say is the thickness of a desitin? Is that pourable?
No.
No way. No way. You could probably use that to repair the walls also.
You wouldn't like the smell. But I have a question about
Chet. There's a way of cooking where you seal the pan, you seal the thing, and you put bachek around.
Right. And Ms. Kamkhagar says you can,
So that you wouldn't be...
Look at number hey, good. Kesem she'un ibud ba'achlin, just like there is no ibud, you can't tan foods, kach ein memachek ba'achlin. There's no smearing when it comes to food. Lefikach, v'chein, therefore, mutal hachlik ha'ochel de Shabbat. You can spread your cream cheese or your peanut butter and jelly sandwich on Shabbos. Phew, right? Just like the same thing. So we talked about smearing avocado. Right, remember we talked about that. That's tochein, the act of, you might be crushing it because it's a regular avocado. So avocado, we talked about smushing it, but we didn't talk about smearing it, because smearing, there's no idea of mamachek on as long as it's smooth enough already. Remember we said if it was smooth enough that you wouldn't be crushing it? Remember we said it depends how ripe the avocado really is? So as long as it's smearable, then you're allowed to, there's no problem about mamachek. Hove, eshelech, or below that, you can eat it without that. You don't have to smear it. Therefore, mutar lahachlik chemah betapuchim al halechem. You're allowed to smooth, chemah is butter and apple. I guess they had apple spread or whatever it was on the lechem. Avav, davar she'yefshar lechol b'milo miruah. But something you could not eat without smearing. Kmo she'yesh bo ibud rabbanan al kopan. And then there is kach asur remachik mid rabbanan. So what would there be that you wouldn't be able to eat without smearing it?
Cheese.
No.
You hard cheese? Cheese what?
Like not able to or not?
E. F. Shar le echol below me ruach.
Consider butter edible in its own form?
Oh, yeah, big time.
You would
No, that'd be gross.
Is it because it's gross or because you cannot?
Oh, I don't know. All right, I'm not up to that part yet. We'll have to see. Not next week, not in 2 weeks. In the spring semester of the Baby Josh program, we'll have to leave you hanging.
Translate this line again then?
I'm going to leave it. I'm going to leave it for now. We'll get back to it. We will come back to it. Okay? So we learned, I just wanted to show you the Chayy Adam, because so we learned that there are, again, two problems of mamachek. There's smoothing something, and then there's smearing. Okay, let's look at what is interesting. Look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. So it's interesting. The more I learn Hilchos Shabbos, the more I see that the Shulchan Aruch is written, he tried to write it in such a way to apply it to people's lives. He did not organize it in the organization like the Chayy Adam did. See how the Chayy Adam is organized by Malacha? The Shulchan Aruch, he tried to do it the way people behave, what people do. It's very interesting. So look at the source number four. Mutar l'shashefa kelim, you can rub kelim, b'chol davar. You're allowed to rub dishes, utensils with anything. Chutz miklei kesef begartikon. You're not allowed to rub silver with gartikon. Anybody know what gartikon is?
Alice?
No.
Steel wool.
Anybody know gartikon?
Steel wool.
I didn't know either, which is a good thing why the Shulchan Aruch told me what it was. Shehu shimrei yayin. These are wine sediment. Shenid yabshu benid kashu. That dried and hardened.
Wine sediment?
I guess so. Apparently the wine sediment
looks like a con. It's like a form of con. We use crushed cherry pits.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like it's a thick paste and you can scrape off everything.
Mm-hmm.
But not really. We use crushed cherry
pits. I mean, what tops
up. Wow. Okay. I didn't know that. Why? Mibnei shehu mimachek likri keser shehu rach. Shulchan Aruch felt that silver, and this is true, if you rub it very hard, it will smooth it. Okay. You can actually, if you take steel wool, and you rub it on your silver becher, you will ruin it. You will. Been there, done that. Right, silver is
soft.
What?
It's more tough.
Yeah, silver is soft. So therefore, that is memache. That is a problem of what?
It's more tough, though. Very tough.
Right. So he says, "B'chol davar." And then one second. Let me see. One second. Mm. Lamitech. Since it's amazing how creative they had to be without chemical things. They had to make their own. That was their steel wool, in a sense. Yeah.
Maybe it was something that was acidic in there that, in a way, would quickly tarnish. You know the way sometimes lemon juice, if you take salt and lemon juice, you don't have sugar polish.
Salt and lemon juice?
And you pour salt on a lemon.
You're just like the Farmer's Almanac. You got all this information.
And if you don't have sugar polish, it will take away the tarnish.
But will it smooth it?
No.
No, so that's not a problem. We're talking about smoothing the metal. Okay. We're talking about smoothing the metal. Yeah. Okay, look at Nem. Look at Nem. I wanted to read you Nem, actually. The Alkeni says, Asur lahashchiz hasakim b'shabbat. You're not allowed to sharpen knives, even without a mill. Rock the eighth of Adoma, even on wood. So this act, right? You don't like that? You're supposed to do it in a very special way. It actually makes a difference, right? People do this all the time. If their knife is not sharp, so you have this is a regular kitchen utensil. So they're just what? I hope not, but I think people do. But you never seen it. I've seen what?
Every time
they
use their knives, they'll sharpen
them. Right. Yeah, this is an
Av Malacha. I wouldn't even think of
that. Who would have thought of that? What?
I think that that's the first one.
Right, because people are,
more modern than that, where you can stick it in the thing and
right,
out, but
correct. Real chefs don't do this. They do this. And it makes a difference. And if your knife is dull, someone who knows their knife, if you ever see these kitchen shows, these chef guys, they know their knives, and it really does make a big difference.
You'll have more accidents with a dull knife than with a sharp knife.
Interesting. I didn't realize that. Very interesting. Good. Explain a couple of things.
You're cleaning, you're shaving.
So this is an Av Malacha. Right. Who would have ever thought? A D'Oraisa. Sorry, a D'Rabbanan, not bad enough, but an Av Malacha D'Oraisa. Again, also, I brought you a spoon. Accidentally, I turned on the garbage disposal. Ooh. Right, with my...
Put a little mix in it.
Right, so a person would instinctively go and try to... I mean, I didn't. Maybe you try to get to stand it down. Right, that's what you would do. It makes sense, right? Yeah, helped a little bit to file something down. Right, you would think that. Also, you never had a spoon or a knife or something like that that had a little piece on it that was cutting into you or something like that. So normally you would put it away. Nobody I know would actually do this on Shabbos. But what? Don't get it on the garbage disposal. Right. The next thing you should also not do is turn on the garbage disposal with a spoon inside. That's also not recommended. Right. But again, to do that, I just brought an example because I thought of something that I don't know somebody might do. Who knows? Okay, nobody would do. Whatever. To smooth something out. That's an amalacha. That's mamachik. That is what mamachik really is.
This is finishing this kind of work.
I'm not finishing. I'm smoothing. I'm trying to smooth it out. I did a good job. Okay, we'll put that back in the drawer. Okay. Okay. Look at that. So the Shmir Shabbos says, I'll just quote it for you, the bottom of page 2. Asur lahashchiz sakin b'chol tzura shehi. You cannot sharpen knife in any way. Beim Shabbat, beim b'yom tov. Okay, the af, and is also asur lahashir chaluda. You can't remove any rust, a rust spot. Shinitztabra yidei asakin. Right? Now there's another one. U'mitzvah, look what he says. U'mitzvah lahashkiz asakinim in ba'od yom mishum kavod hayom. You should sharpen your knives erev Shabbos so that you'll have kavod Shabbos.
But what happens if you feel rust is going to be dangerous to your knife?
Then don't use the knife.
Or don't use the
pot. Or whatever. Right. But you're not allowed to remove that rust. That is mamachet. That is definition of Ramache. Okay, page 3.
And all of this applies only to objects, not to
food.
Our personal body.
Like our personal body, I'm not saying it's mutter, there are other problems.
No, I'm saying, for example, get a hangnail or something.
We'll talk about that to Gozes, but I'm not going to talk about that today. That's the problem of Gozes. Yeah. I have to get to soap. What time is it?
45.
All right. Wait, we're on page 3 of 6. Boy, okay. You can read the top of page 3 on your own. You can read the top of page 3 on your own. You can figure it out on your own. It's actually relatively straightforward. He just basically says the whole wax thing. Remember the whole wax thing?
So that's what I'm talking about. Like
what?
Are you implying that?
Well, you tell me. What I really wanted to show you is, you think a bar of soap is like wax? When we were talking about, when I talk about wax, we're talking about taking hot wax and putting it on a place and pushing it into place, right? As a stopper. Now, these are things that we never do. Why do we never do it? Because we're so spoiled that we have ready-made caps. But that's what they used to have to do. They used to have to make things up or put a cork or whatever, right? So now, if the act, what do we define the act of memachik as being? What is the act of memachik?
Smoothing.
Okay? Let's pass this around. We'll do show and tell. Okay? When I use that soap.
That's incredible. That's shaving that soap. It's like a figure eight.
What?
Dissolving.
Dissolving. Yeah. One second. Is it by smoothing it? You're right. Every time, you're absolutely right. Every time you, but remember, it was the act of smoothing. The act of taking a piece of skin, right? Taking a piece of skin and I'll pass it that way. Taking a piece of skin and taking off the impurities. Do you feel any impurities on there?
No.
It's dial. Regular dial. There's no impurities on there. It's very smooth. Okay? So what's the problem with soap? Can somebody tell me what is the problem of using soap?
Because every time you wet it,
you're changing the surface.
You're smoothing the surface.
Am I really, though? It's as smooth as I can be.
But you change it. Okay.
And the next time I take off the next layer, is it going to be any smoother?
You're dissolving it.
Okay.
It's constantly smooth.
You're changing
its
size.
What?
You're changing its size.
That's right.
Minimally, yeah.
Yeah.
Visibly?
You can very easily put a nick in there.
Visibly?
How much you rub it with the water.
Right.
What happens if you put a nick in there? And you can. If you drop the soap and it's hard, you can crack it, you can put a nick in it. When you wash it, you're going to smooth it out.
Okay, but most, oh, you're right. So maybe you would say, well, you couldn't use the soap at the beginning. You can use the soap at the beginning.
It has an embossing and it has the name. It has.
All right. But it's still smooth. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but it's a three-dimensional.
I hear you. Okay.
So use a three-dimensional. Don't use a new bar of soap on Shabbos.
What?
Don't use a new bar of soap on Shabbos.
This is a bar of soap? Right. You can. But not because of why you think. As we'll talk about. What?
It's also changing the liquid soap in its form. Let's go from solid to liquid.
And therefore? Yeah. Why? Well, we're going to talk about it. Very good. Okay? Let's look at Simon soap. Simon Shin Chaf Vav. Has anybody heard about liquid soaps? Are you allowed to use liquid soap on Shabbos?
Yes.
Why? I want to know if you heard this. So it depends on how thick the liquid soap is. Why? Where did you hear that from? What's that based on? Couldn't tell you. Okay, so there's this lore out there. Right, it's not really lore. It's an accepted halachic custom that it depends on the thickness of the soap.
Okay.
Hold on. I can tell you the bottom line yet. You know, this is going to be really bad if I leave you hanging. Okay. But what I really wanted to do, I started a little bit late, is to take you through the halachic process and to explain to you what the issues are. Because this is a very fascinating and easy to understand discussion. So I guess what we're going to have to do is start it today. And maybe we'll finish it next week, and then we'll start, because I really want to finish it. Maybe you're not fascinated by the halachic process, but this is a very fascinating, just small issue of understanding what's the issue of the soap. Has anybody here not heard that you're supposed to dilute liquid soap?
No.
You never heard that? You never heard that?
Some questions, our soap, we have undiluted soap in our...
Liquid soap.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys have
washing. Who said that?
Somebody, a guest.
A guest. Okay, and what did you say?
I said, it wouldn't be
here. That's not exactly true. I mean, I'm learning as I go along. For example, remember I told you about the babysitting room, so it's the process.
We have
you do?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
So cheap.
Why?
Because
that's what you were taught.
Well, now we have this was a dial complete.
Right. Well, that's interesting. It's another question, but we'll talk about that. Right. Change your lives. Okay. Okay.
Dishwashing soap is kind of...
Oh, do you dilute your dishwashing soap?
What?
The dishwashing soap. Do you dilute that?
No, we just wait.
They don't wash dishes.
They don't wash dishes. They pick one meal to pay for one.
Okay. Says the. By the way, what did they use for soap in the Middle Ages? What did they use for soap? Miriam.
Yeah.
Fat. What else?
Fat mud.
Lye? What is lye?
Sodium hydroxide.
Okay. Can you wash your hands with lye?
Heck no.
Right.
Unless you want to
What else would you use? Interestingly enough, what else would you use?
Those are the two components.
Let's look. Mutar, source number seven. Mutar lirchot yada ben morsan. You can wash your hands in morsan. What's morsan?
Bran.
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 Have you ever heard of, like oatmeal enriched soaps?
Yeah.
You know, they charge a lot of money for this nowadays. Right. Exactly.
If you don't have something, you use like grass or whatever, or grain, that will...
Hagar. The Rama says, hey, Bran, what happens when I take Bran and I get my hands wet? What's going to happen when I take that Bran? What? You're going to be making dough. You say, hey, what the heck? How can I use bran to wash my hands? Rama says, the gibul kila achar yad share. Because I'm not trying to make dough. I'm incidentally making dough.
Well, this is a chicken.
Remember we talked about mixing lush? Remember we talked about mixing grain and water together? That was not permitted? Here, I'm doing it not for the reason of making any paste, but that's kila achar yad.
What was that called?
What?
Chicken.
Lush.
No, the...
Cutting off the chicken's head.
Oh, stick ratio. Look at the Mishnah Berurah. We'll look on the place. I didn't want to get into that, but it's in the Mishnah Berurah. You can't wash your hands with salt. The kozikin biborit, shikorin zeif. Gene, what's borit? Borit is?
Lye.
The lashon Ashkenaz. O b'shar chelev, or any fat. Sheni moach al yadav. Because it melts on your hand. Sahave nolad. What is nolad? We've talked about this before. Right. Nolad is making something from something else.
Nolad is creating.
Right. Nolad is like when the... Nolad really comes from the egg being born on Shabbos. Okay? Something that wasn't before, changing a form of something, that's nolad. When I do this, what have I done? Almost nothing. Now I'm putting water. Right? All of a sudden, oh my goodness, look what I did. I changed the form of it. I made it from a solid into a liquid. Right? If I do that with fat or I do that with anything, that's nolad. I just changed the form of the stuff, of the substance. You done with your drink?
No. Yeah.
I need a plate. You got a plate. Oh, you got a plate? Thanks. Oh, think about it. So. Okay. Now my hands are clean. My hands are going to be very, very clean by the end of this year. Okay. Right? But you can see, no, I'm good. People think, why is soap asr because of memachek? It is not asr bar soap because of memachek. It's asr because of nolad. Okay? Can you want to give up page 4? My hands are kind of wet.
Sure.
Okay. Give out 4.
What's the kosher of viscosity?
Ah, so what's the level of viscosity? We'll talk about it. Thanks. I'm good.
It's always hard to know what's supposed to be.
One second.
Yeah,
we're going to do 4. Yeah. Okay. Give me 4. Okay.
You need
one? Yeah.
Did you get one of these? Did you guys get 4?
Yeah, we're going to do the beginning. What, the short one? We're going to do the beginning of this one, of number 4. We're going to do the beginning of it. And we'll stop. We're going to do the Shemir Shabbos, the beginning of the Shemir Shabbos. And then we'll stop and we'll see if we can understand it. So again, there's no memachek on a bar of soap. Because it's already smooth. Except, oh, whoops. I'm sorry. Go back to page 3. Very important. So where did the whole thing of soap come from? Right, where does this idea come from? Have no lot, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Second column, the ayin. See what says the second column? Okay. I'm sorry. Go to the Havi Nolad. So first of all, even the idea of soap being Nolad is a machlokas. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Dami Lurishuk Sheleg Ubarad. Remember when we talked about squeezing out snow?
Yes.
Okay? So if you recall, when we talked about squeezing out snow, we said it was one of two problems. It was either a problem of squeezing out snow because of dush, because of squeezing. Some felt, though, that it was a problem of Nolad. Is that ringing about anybody?
Right, because if you melt it, it's going to turn
snow. Right, correct. Okay? But The damage, so therefore, this would be like Novad. It says, V'ayin b'magin Avram. Look at the Magin Avram, with the comment in the Shulchan Aruch. Shekatab v'shein filta gibar, m'shiyesh matirim v'zeh. Some people even permit using these soaps like fats. Why? The Svira Lahu, because they hold, D'masha asru chazal l'rasek sheleg ubara, the fact that they didn't permit you to squeeze snow, hum shum gzeiras shchitas perus. Because if I let you squeeze snow, then you squeeze your grapefruit to get juice, and it had nothing to do with no life. So, because snow and hail are for water. If that were be true, last I checked, nobody drinks snow, soap, ew, okay? Nobody drinks soap. And even though something comes off of them, that would not be no lud. So already, the Shulchan Aruch passage is asher, the Rama, then the Shabur comes along and says, oh, hold on a second. Some of the commentaries already say that soap, solid bar soap, would not be a problem with no lud. We don't pass them that way. I am the Tiferes Yisrael Shekasa. Look at Tiferes Yisrael who writes, Tiferes Yisrael is a commentary on the Mishnah. This is very important. The Bevorit Shalanu Shehi Raka. He says, our soap, which is soft, I don't know, I've never seen an example of the kind of soap that he had in the times of...
It was a crystalline soap.
What does that mean? What was it?
It was
very, very
hard.
No. Look, he says, it's raka, it's soft. L'kulei alma asur mishum mimachik. Everybody says it's Tiferes Yisrael. Everybody says our soap is mimachik. So I think what he had was, anybody ever seen like a cold cream? So the impression I get is he had a soft, pliable soap. It was a mushable soap. It was just like a spreadable soap.
Like the mechanics cream.
What is that?
I don't know what you
What is
that?
Soap.
What is that? A very, very thick soap. Right? You like scoop a little out. Right. They do make it. Oh, I'll ask Jeff Shriver. I'll see if I can get some. So he says, that is asa mishum memachik. So already, if you see the words... Borit Raka, the Kule Alma Usher, right? So already, what does Borit mean? Soap. Raka is soft. Soft soap, Usher. Oh, look what I have, soft soap. Usher! Right? No, but that's not true. You know what I mean? Like, don't jump to conclusions. What was his soap in his time? What soap was he talking about?
If you leave a bar of soap in some lukewarm water, it does become like a...
He says, Uke'en mad'ita v'inyan shava, just like we learned about the wax, b'shimen shin yudalid, ayin sham. B'chein, I further found b'shem b'divim b'nacham b'shem malasha rokeach, perek chapeh v'hochat shava, b'kin yud gimel, d'hu mimareach u'mimachek. That's mimareach, sneering, and also a mimachek. U'b'hu ad malacha, Uksik Resha, and it's a Psik Resha, remember that term? We learned that? There's no way around it. Vahu Pasher, it's obvious. V'yeis v'hashir ha'amol zeh ma'od. Very strong language, right? People should be very careful not to use that soap. Don't use the goop. That's what they were using. Obviously, he felt very strongly, and people were using it. So you need to get up and show instead of yelling at them. Ulevad kol zeh, he says, aside from this, Masham Rashi dafnun amad bez, Rashi implies, deborit mashir haseyar. Their soap, the soap pulls out hair. V'chein katavran, v'chein hu minhag, kol Yisrael lahachmir bazeh. Okay? So you see this in Tiferes Yisrael, and he says, soap is?
Usher.
Don't use soap on Shabbos. Okay?
Okay.
So the problem is, we're going to have to understand, what was he talking about? What kind of soap did he have? What kind of soap do we have? And therefore, what kind of soap is therefore permissible? So I'm going to show you an interesting, and what we're going to end up doing is understanding, A, what kind of soap he had, and we're going to talk about what kind of soap we have, and what I really want to discuss with you is why some people say that you should dilute soap. Right, why is it a chumra to dilute soap? No, not because of Nola. It's definitely not Nola. Why is it a chumra? Why do people think it's a chumra to dilute soap? And why do I think that is totally incorrect and has nothing to do with diluting at all? And I'm going to explain to you why I have no idea why diluting soap should make a difference at all. Right? Soap is still soap, and we'll see the sources inside. Okay.
Unless you're doing it with a shinoi, then you would doing it differently than you would do with the rest of it.
Even well, with a shinoi, but no, we're going to talk about what is the reason.
If you're adding water to it and you're using it like that on Shabbos, then you're using it differently than you would use it during the week.
I don't know. Why would that be doing it differently? You're still putting it on your hands.
You're not adding water to. You're talking about adding water to the bottle.
Yeah.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that during the week. If you say you have to do it, you do it on Shabbos because.
Right, but when you say do a shinoi, you usually do the shinoi in a. You do something in a different way.
Okay.
It's not with the item itself, and we're gonna see what is the reason why people feel that you should dilute it, and then I'm gonna show you why I don't understand why that really would make a difference. Okay, so we'll do all of that next week. And then we'll go into Kashering. Yeah, so I would say give me the pages back unless you want to go over it at home or whatever.